I recognize that with our lesson yesterday on the position of the husband and wife in the family, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel sure that some of you women are saying, I wish my husband had heard this. All right, let's see about the women. That'd be a good place to start. The women, the wife has the place of honor. We were saying yesterday in our preceding lesson, the husband has the place of leadership, place of responsibility, the place of headship in the family. God holds the father, the husband, responsible for the family. Now the wife has the place of honor, and her job is to submit herself to her husband. Now, as I said, and I repeat this, it's not a question of servitude. It's not a question of being a slave in the family, of being a chattel, but one with your husband. And I repeat to you men, when you take your place of responsibility, it's very easy for the wife to take her place of submission when she knows that you love her, a love that is willing to sacrifice for her joy, for her love, for the whole family. And I feel this is very needful today. Now then, let's come again to the woman. In verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Go down to verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, you husbands, so love your wife even as yourself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. And I repeat it, when you husbands take your place of loving your wife as yourself, a love that was willing to sacrifice for the love and joy and blessing of the wife, it'll be very easy for the wife to take her place of submission, of reverencing her husband. Now, I want to say this, and I know there's a possibility I'm going to get some reaction from you folk, and I'm willing to have the reaction. But I've had men who insist that their wives submit themselves to them in everything. Whatever it may be, whatever decision he makes, she's got to submit. Now, this is autocratic. This is not love. This is being a boss. This is not love. And I maintain the Bible doesn't teach such a thing. The husband is to love his wife even as himself. And the wife, when she finds a husband, when her husband loves her as he loves himself, for no man ever yet hated himself, his own flesh, she would be very glad indeed to submit herself to her husband. You see, it's a combination. It's a teamwork. It's teamwork. Husband has his place. The wife has her place. It's a question where you work together. You're one in Christ. Now, the illustration given to us, as I say, is the relationship between Christ and the church. How much did Christ love the church? He loved the church so much that he was willing to lay down his life for the church. Husbands are to lay down their lives, if need be, for their wives, because they love them. It was in love that the Lord Jesus gave himself for us, that he might present the church to himself, a holy church, having neither spot nor wrinkle, nor any such thing. I tell you, my friend, it's an amazing thing. This question of relationship is a tremendous thing. In fact, I again come back to what I said in the preceding lesson. The prayers of God's people are oftentimes hindered because either one or the other does not take their place before God and before each other. I could sit here and tell you of family after family after family who have had trouble and they're continuing to have trouble. Why? Because neither one will take their place. I say it's very easy for each one to take their place if each one does take their place. And I am emphasizing this fact that the great illustration given to us is with respect to Christ and his love for the church. Now, you notice, if I may go on in the chapter, the love of Christ for the church was revealed in sacrifice. He's given everything, all that he had, for the church which he loves. His past work is mentioned in verse 25. He gave himself for the church that he might remove the barriers between the church and God. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This man, by one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. This is what he did in the past. His love was evidenced by sacrifice. Now, our Lord's present work, that he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. This is his present ministry, to sanctify and cleanse the church by the washing of water by the word. He wants to keep us clean. And how does he do it? By his word. As you have it in John 15:3, when he said, "Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, through chapter 2, verse 2, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore he is able to save perfectly all those who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us." He cleanses the church by the washing of water by the word. That's what you have in 119 Psalm. You remember, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed according to thy word." And then you have his future work, his future joy in verse 27, "that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Here, his future joy, he's going to present the church to himself, a spotless church, a holy church. This is the future. In the book of Jude, verse 24, you remember, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and honor," and so forth. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, he not only reconciles us, but he's going to present us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. You see, you have the past work of Christ. Because he loved us, he died for us and removed the barrier of sin. Because of his love for us, his present work is revealed in that he's our representative, our intercessor, our advocate. And he keeps us clean by the word of God. And then his future joy, he's going to present the church to himself, a holy church, absolutely spotless. And this is his future joy. And if he did all this because he loved us, how then should we love each other? How then should we love each other? We ought to love each other even as Christ loved the church. I come back again to this statement that I made in chapter 5, the beginning of the chapter. We manifest our love for God by obedience to his word, and we manifest our love for each other by sacrifice. Mr. or Mrs., whoever you are, if you really love each other, if your love for each other is genuine, you'll be willing to sacrifice for the joy and the blessing of each other. There's no joy in being a boss. There's no joy in being an autocrat. There's no joy in lording it over people by saying, "This is my position." This is a combination. This is a union. A union. The husband having his place, the wife having her place. And look at the joy for your children. Instead of seeing father and mother at odds with each other and scrapping and not talking to each other, here they have blessed communion together, blessed joy and love, and it radiates through the children. And the kids begin to love each other. I'm talking about a practical thing. The Word of God is practical. And again, may I say, God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be filled with joy, and He's laid down instructions on how our families can be happy, joyous families. Now, as I say, if I'm talking to somebody who's a Christian and your partner in life is not a Christian, then your instructions will be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Where you are, if the unsaved party wants to live with you, then you live with him and live before him as a child of God, so that he may be brought to the saving knowledge of Christ. I want to say in that same connection, I have seen men and women driven from Christ because of the actions of their partner, their so-called Christian partner. Oh, how it must grieve the heart of God as he sees his people on earth, when he's given such clear instructions. The place of responsibility of the husband and the responsibility of the wife. Oh, my friends, may the Lord make these things very precious and very clear to you. And may these coming days in your house, in your family, may you husbands take your place and you wives take your place. And my, what a combination of love. Remember, we manifest our love for God by obedience to his word. We manifest our love for each other by sacrifice, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. Now, may the Lord wonderfully bless you. I just pray that God will make your family, your home, one of the sweetest homes in the neighborhood because of the love you have, not only for the Lord, but the love you have for each other. And remember, love, genuine love, is always willing to sacrifice. And the Lord wonderfully bless you now for his name's sake.